I'm honored to be able to just share for a moment tonight. I remember that email well because, something had happened. I had been an evangelical pastor for many years, an evangelical Seventh-day Adventist pastor. I had a love for the Lord, very happy within the Seventh-day Adventist church, really having a passion for revival and renewal within the system. And then some friends of mine left Adventism, and they had some issues with Seventh-day Sabbath. I actually got very angry with them and said, you know, guys, there is a renewal movement happening in Adventism, and you guys are just going to hurt the reputation of all the rest of us that are trying to make this thing go. And I got rather upset, and they lent me some books and some materials and said, God bless you. We love you. We know that you love the Lord. We love the Lord. Gave me a little quote from Romans 14, 5 and 6, which said, one man says one day is sacred, another man says every day is alike. Let each be convinced in their own mind. And they handed me some materials, which I proceeded to read to argue with. One of them was a book called Sabbath in Crisis, which is now Sabbath in Christ by Dale Ratzlaff. Another was a book called New Covenant Christians, Clay Peck had written. They put me on to Mark Martin's site, and so I went to Mark Martin's site. And during this process, I started this argumentation thing going on, and I wrote a fairly caustic email to Mark. But you know what I didn't understand was there was a motive behind this that was, I thought that these guys were just selling out to grow big churches, and they were selling out moral principles. But what happened after that was during the next couple of years, there was a hunger within me that started to build. I read the materials, I argued with them, and put them aside, didn't think about them much. But one of the things I started noticing is my heart kept growing in my love relationship with Jesus Christ. And my wife's experience with the Lord was growing. And we just felt like there was something missing. There was something not quite working right. Our church was growing, but there was something that wasn't there. And we took a sabbatical one summer, and we traveled across the United States. And we visited churches. Every Sunday, we went to a Sunday church somewhere across the country. And every Saturday, we went to a Sabbatarian church. And we got into this experience of seeing what God was doing. And what we found was that there was this vibrancy within these non-denominational and denominational churches that were meeting on Sundays. And the Sabbatarian churches, the Seventh-day Adventist churches, for the most part, there was something missing. There was a sincerity there and a heart for God, but something wasn't quite right. And it was so troubling to me. We got back, and I just spent a weekend in fasting and prayer before I had to take my responsibilities back up. And said, dear God, what is it? What is it that you're trying to tell me? I'm missing something here. And the Lord used a series of events to say, I want you to study this thing again. And so I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm going to open my Bible, and I'm going to study. And this time, instead of to argue, I'm going to see what the Bible really teaches. Even if it costs me my job, Lord. Because I knew this is high risk. See, you don't study some of these issues within Adventism safely. Not and keep a job. And so I started just seeking the Lord. I'd been seeking Him, but really pouring out my heart to Him and studying the Bible. And somehow, somewhere along in that stage of study, the new covenant came to life. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. You know, the festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths were a shadow of things to come. The reality is Jesus Christ. And Galatians, the law was given 430 years after Abraham until the Christ should come. That it was our schoolmaster, our tutor, the Greek kind of carries with it the same idea of someone that would carry kids to school, and once they were at school, it dropped them off as a bus driver, to put it in our language. The law was our bus driver to get us to Jesus. He's our school, not the bus driver. And it just came alive. For the first time in my life, I saw that, you know, this was not a moral thing. The Sunday Sabbath thing was not a moral thing. It's truly a preference thing. In fact, Paul says it's even more than a preference thing, because there's danger if you try to attach any salvation significance to it. In Galatians chapter 4, he says it in verse 10. He says, these days, months, seasons, and years, observing those things can actually threaten. He says, I'm afraid for you lest I've labored in vain. If you try to make those things part of your salvation package, you're missing it. Well, I got scared. I would wake up in the morning fearful because I had been told in the writings of Ellen White that if you question Sabbath, or if you question her writings, first of all, and then eventually Sabbath, and then you're on the way to perdition, and you're going to be lost. Terrifying. So I would wake up with things, fears that hadn't been in my mind for years, fears that I was going to get the mark of the beast, and that I would be condemned because I would lead other people astray. And I would pray, dear God, I would rather have you lay me to rest, take my life, rather than have me lead anybody astray. But this is what the Bible seems to be teaching. And I would go back and forth. I would have these fears every time I'd wake up, and then I'd go to the Bible. And the truth of the new covenant, stand firm in the freedom for which Christ has set you free. Do not become entangled again in a yoke of bondage. This joy would come over me. And so throughout the day, I'd be just singing praises to God and feeling His joy. Next morning, I'd wake up in fear. And then I'd go and I'd worship and I'd pray and I'd seek God's face, and I would claim Luke 11, 11 through 13. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, God's not going to give you a snake, a stone, or a scorpion. He's not going to deceive you. He's going to guide you. He's going to be with you. He's going to give you His Holy Spirit. You cannot be deceived with that prayer. And so I would pray that prayer. I'd feel the refreshing of the Lord. This went on for months. And then one day, it was like the Lord was speaking to me. I didn't hear any audible voice, but it was just like so clear in my mind. Where is your fear coming from, Greg? Well, I had to say, Lord, it came from my Adventist training. It came from the teachings of Ellen White. It came from those things. And where is your joy coming from? Well, from the teaching of the new covenant. There's your answer. There's your answer. And then I was at peace. My wife was led on a similar journey, and together we resigned as pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was terrifying because we knew we didn't have any place to go. Financially, we didn't know what was going to happen. But we knew what God was leading us to do, because we couldn't with integrity continue to teach those things, even though we love the people in the Adventist Church. They've done us nothing wrong. We love the church. But we knew we had to follow our convictions. So we stepped out. But during that lone, agonizing time when I had no one could talk to, there was somebody praying for me. The first Sunday we attended a little church in our town. We went to the church, and a little lady came up to us. She's, you know, 4 foot something, and a strong New York accent. She came running up to us. Pastor Greg, she said, you remember me? I'm Joni. I said, well, no, I actually don't remember you. I was a little embarrassed. She says, well, I came to your church one time a couple of years ago with a girl named Jennifer. I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. She says, well, when you were preaching, she said, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, pray for this man. He'll obey me. Pray for him. I just want you to know that the Lord's been making me up. Sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to pray for you and your family. And I'm just so glad to see you following Him. The Lord just confirmed. Nobody could have known the agony that I was going through in that time in the church all alone, crying out to God. But God was behind it and had support and prayer. We were supposed to get a pretty decent severance package for our years of service. That didn't work out, and we were kind of miffed at first. Thought, what should we do? You know, should we fight this thing somehow legally, you know, get some support? And we felt like the Lord was telling us, no, that would ruin your testimony. Because you love the church, you don't want to do that. Just trust me. That night, after we made that decision, we got a call. Someone, I still don't know to this day who it was, contacted Pastor Mark and said, I heard about this guy. Would you pass a little gift along for us? And he called me up and said, somebody did something here. Just want to pass it along. It's about a month and a half's worth of salary. And God took care of us at every turn. It has not been an easy journey. It's been frightening at times. There have been times when we've not known where our next paycheck or how are we going to survive, where that was going to come from, but we never missed a house payment. And there's not a day that goes by, hardly, that we don't just say, thank you, Jesus. Not because we didn't have a good life within Adventism, but because the moving of the Spirit, as we learn the freedom of the new covenant, that has so far outshined anything we knew before, that all we can do is say, praise God. I thank God for what he's done for my wife and for my kids. They love the Lord. They say, you know, they told us the other day, my son Jordan said, Dad, we're so glad that you guys followed God. We're just grateful. We're so glad. You know, he's faithful. And I want to thank him. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to share. I want to praise God for his faithfulness to us and letting us see what a spirit-filled life can really be. We have nothing to say negative about the way we were treated. We were treated well. But we're thankful we are where we are. And we just don't know how we could have lived this kind of joy. How would it have been if we'd have said no? We're so grateful. We said, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, he's faithful. Thank you.